This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Alex Murdaugh's surviving son taking the stand today, testifying about gun usage in the family's South Carolina home. Of course, in the trial that's going on against his father, Alex Murdaugh, for the murder of his brother and his mother. There's a lot of testimony that is still coming out. Buster claiming that his brother, Paul, was not very good at storing guns and regularly left them lying around at their Moselle property.
So we're getting more of this. We've heard about hogs and pigs on the property. Can you tell the jury a little bit about that?
About the hogs?
Yes, sir.
We had a lot of hogs. And if you don't know, hogs are very destructive to a piece of property. You know, we plant food plots for the deer, plant the fields for the doves and the ducks, and they basically go through and ruin it all. So given the high population of hogs, we, you know, would frequently go out and hunt them, try to cut the numbers down a little bit.
What kind of guns did you have there at Moselle?
We had a lot of guns.
You have shotguns?
We did. Shotguns.
You have 12-gauge
shotguns? 12-gauge shotguns, 20-gauge shotguns, 16-gauge shotguns, 28-gauge shotguns.
Right. And how many rifles, type rifles, did you have on the property?
A lot.
Can you just name some of them?
Yeah, 270, 270 short mag, 7mm 08, 308, 243, 223, 300 blackout.
And what type of ammo did you keep on the property?
Well, I mean, all ammo is for those calibers.
Sure. And where were the guns kept primarily?
In the gun room at the main house at Moselle.
And was there a pool table in the gun room?
There was.
Okay. Were there times when guns were left elsewhere on the property?
Yes.
Where else on the property would guns be left?
Well, just myself. I mean, I've left them up at the shed before. I've left them on golf cart. Used that day, left them in a truck. I mean, guns would just not always find their way back to the gun room.
How about Paul? How was he with securing guns?
Not good.
What do you mean by that?
He would. Paul left guns probably more on the property than anybody else, and just, and sometimes if he. Like, sometimes he would use my gun, and then he would leave it, and then I'd have to track it down.
Right. Did Paul carry guns in his truck?
He did.
Would he keep his truck locked up?
No, not all the time.
Okay. Did at some point in time you and Paul receive 300 blackouts for Christmas?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember roughly, was that 2016 or 2017?
Sounds right.
Okay. And what color was your 300 blackout?
It was black.
And have you been sitting in this courtroom during the entire trial?
Yes, sir.
And the jury's seen a black 300 blackout. Is that yours?
It is. That is my 300 blackout.
Was that the one you got for Christmas?
Yes, sir.
And what color was Paul's?
Paul's was black and tan.
And when you say black and tan, what part was tan and what part was black?
So the receiver would have been tan, and the... I think, and barrel would have been tan.
What part would have been black?
Stock, maybe.
Okay. And so yours was all black, his was black and tan.
That's right.
What happened to his that he got for Christmas in 2016?
His gun was apparently stolen, lost, taken.
How do you know that?
That's just what Paul told me.
Did what happened to your gun after Paul's was stolen?
My gun became, you know, what we would both use.
And what did that create some confrontation between you two at times?
Yes, sir.
And what? Why?
Well, kind of like I just touched on. So he would use it. He's not very good about putting it back where he found it. I leave it somewhere. I go back and, you know, want to get it, and it's not there.
Did you notice, were you aware that Paul got a replacement at some point in time?
No, sir.
Well, you heard about that in the courtroom?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But up to that point, did you ever see Paul use the replacement?
No, sir. I've never seen a replacement.
So every time in your presence Paul was using a 300 blackout, which one would it be?
Mine.
There's, I'm not going to pull these guns out, Buster, but there's been discussion, and the jury has seen a 12-gauge Benelli with a Mojo sticker on it. Whose gun is that?
That's mine.
And what's Mojo?
Mojo is a brand of decoy. It's basically what it is it's, you know, say you buy a wood duck Mojo and it sits on a pole, but the wings are motorized, so it's to replicate, you know, a more alive duck.
And did you, why's your Benelli have a Mojo sticker on it?
Because I bought a Mojo decoy, and in the box it came with a sticker, and I put the sticker on the gun barrel.
And so that way you know that's your gun.
That's right.
Okay. I believe the evidence in the case is that Mojo Benelli, when it was seized, was loaded. Did you frequently put the gun away loaded?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Knowing that I might need it again at any point.
Okay.
Just, you know, put it back on the shelf. I kept the safety on.
Okay. And I think it was loaded with a 3-inch and a 3.5-inch turkey load. Do you remember that you would load that gun with a 3-inch and a 3.5-inch?
Yes, sir.
And why would you do that?
I do that because when I go turkey hunting, the goal is to, you know, get the turkey close to you and shoot it in the first try. But if I were to miss and the turkey goes running away and I try to shoot it again, I put a bigger shell, larger shell, behind the smaller one for that purpose.
Okay. And that's something you commonly did?
Yes, sir.
Did you ever load in a 12-gauge, 20-gauge, 28-gauge, a buckshot followed by a birdshot?
No, sir. I've never done that.
Have you ever known anybody to do that?
No, sir.
Do you know of any reason to do that?
No, I can't think of any reason to do that.
Okay. And specifically, have you ever loaded in any gun a buckshot followed by dry lock steel waterfowl pellet?
I have not.
You've known anybody to do that?
No, sir.
You know any reason to do that?
No, sir.
Okay. And you ever seen any guns on your property loaded in that fashion?
No, sir.
Buckshot with some sort of birdshot right behind it?
No, sir.
The jury's heard testimony about goings and comings, which way you go in and go out at Moselle. How many entrances were there at Moselle?
Two entrances.
And will you describe the two entrances?
So the main entrance is pretty much straight out of the front door of the house. You would go down a dirt road, and then you would come up on big brick columns, and that's what I refer to as the main entrance. But down by the kennels is another entrance, and that one is a little bit different. That one has the mailbox beside it, and those are the two entrances.
Okay.
That's the latest. There's a lot more to come today in testimony in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. So be sure to keep it here and press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.